Welcome, 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 everyone. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Folks, this week we've got neural networks, we've got speech recognition, we've got Mean Joe Green. But you'll have to wait a little bit for that football business. Please welcome Gerard Andrews to Fish Fry. Gerard and I are talking about voice control user interfaces, and specifically the trends in automotive and smart home applications. We're also chatting about the power of Cadence's new Hi-Fi 5 DSP and the differences between neural network processing for audio and imaging. So, without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Gerard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we are here to talk about voice control user interfaces. Now, Gerard, what specific trends are you seeing in this arena, particularly in the world of smart home and automotive applications?
I think the first trend is that voice is literally everywhere. There are some recent announcements from Amazon about their new products that contain their Alexa voice service. And some of them are quite familiar, like the Echo Dot and the Echo Show. But there are some new devices like Echo Auto, so Alexa can now follow you to the car. There's the Ring security camera, so Alexa can follow you to your backyard. And my all-time favorite is the $60 voice control microwave oven, so you can tell Alexa to pop your popcorn.
Nice.
So when you look at all these devices, it really just points towards a trend that a voice control interface is going to be literally everywhere in your home.
Okay, so let's talk about speech recognition at the edge. Now, Gerard, why is this advantageous? And how can speech recognition be enabled locally?
Yes, I think that anytime you bring so many microphones into a home or into your car, there are going to be concerns about privacy. There's going to be some concerns about who's listening. You know, are they building too much data on me by you having all these voice interactions recorded and analyzed by these big service providers? So I think one of the trends we're seeing is the desire on the OEMs to at least have some of the voice control services be handled completely locally. There's a big trend and a big idea to go pursue that. And the big thing there, I think, is privacy. I think most users are fine if they say stream Britney Spears, that goes out to the cloud. But if you actually say open the garage door or close the garage door, maybe that doesn't need to be sent out to the cloud or your service provider. So it's a big trend to try to enable large vocabulary speech recognition systems at the edge. And we want to try to enable that with our new products like the Hi-Fi 5 DSP. In addition to privacy, you get some other benefits from doing things at the edge. There's a lower latency response when you don't have the internet back and forth time. Additionally, you get the benefit that the service can actually work when you don't have access to the cloud, because there could be conditions in the car or in your home when your internet is not working and you still want to rely on that voice control device. And so if you can offer that when you're in an offline state, I think that ends up being a much better, much richer consumer experience.
So, Gerard, are there differences between neural network processing for audio and for imaging? And does that drive different architectural approaches?
Definitely. I think that a lot of this new interest in neural nets and how they can be applied is kind of started in the imaging world. And the imaging world to date has heavily relied on CNNs, convolutional neural networks. But the speech recognition side of the world, the audio side of the world, uses a different network structure called RNNs, of which there are two really prevalent categories, LSTMs or GRUs. And the way the CNNs and RNNs work are quite different and can drive different architectural approaches. CNNs have a lot more reuse of the coefficient weights, and there's much less reuse available in LSTMs and GRUs, which means you have different data flows, different MAC utilization for different problems. And if you are optimizing for one versus the other, you can end up with quite different architectures. Another big difference, I think, is that there's much more data in these high-resolution imaging these days, more and more megapixels than you have in an audio stream. So the performance requirements for neural net machine targeting imaging application is a much higher compute requirement than something strictly doing audio.
So you mentioned HiFi 5 DSP. Now, how exactly is that optimized for AI speech and audio processing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So before I get into that, I'll explain just a little bit about what happens in these digital assistant type devices at the very high level. There are kind of two classes of compute that's happening. One is the voice pre-processing, where you're trying to isolate the speaker's voice from the ambient environment. And there's a lot of DSP processing there, multi-mic processing to cancel the noise in the background and clarify exactly, clean up the audio signal of what the speaker is saying. And the second part is actually the speech recognition itself, which we had mentioned before can happen locally or can happen in the cloud. But in the speech recognition category, you do some feature extraction. There's some neural net processing layers. And then finally, you do some language decoding to put together that whole transition to text. So at HiFi 5, we envision a core that can handle both the pre-processing and the neural net processing required to build one of these digital assistants. Specifically on the neural net processing front, we really have increased the compute resources from our previous generation, which we had 8 MACs a cycle, to 32 MACs a cycle for the type and size of MACs that are used in neural net processing. And that's going to primarily account for the 4x improvement of neural net processing in the HiFi 5 relative to its predecessor, the HiFi 4. We've added other specific instructions to accelerate the activation functions found in neural net processing, like TANH, Sigmoid, Softex, and RELU. These are found in everybody's different algorithms, and we've analyzed a lot of different networks and found that accelerating these really will get more efficient throughput on the HiFi 5. Another big trend is to try to make your use of memory more efficient, because neural net processing can be really memory intensive. And so we have native support in the HiFi 5 for very low precision weights. So we can handle 8 bits, 4 bits, 2 bits, even 1 bit natively in the core. And although there might not be many algorithms today taking advantage of weights at this small, the trend is definitely moving towards using smaller and smaller weights, where the researchers are trying to shrink the size of the models and give a similar result. We're not sure where the research is actually going to end up, but when we designed the core, we really wanted to kind of anticipate that future and enable as much as we could in this core, you know, in terms of flexibility and dealing with memory.
All right, Gerard, it's time for your off-the-cuff question.
I'm ready.
Now, I know you're a Steelers fan, but you live in Austin, Texas, so how did you become a Pittsburgh fan?
As a little boy who grew up in Louisiana, the New Orleans Saints were so horrible that it sent me in search of a winning team. I think at that time, you really had the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Oakland Raiders. And some kind of way, I don't know, was the black and the gold, or was it just Franco Harris or the Mean Joe Green commercial that brought me in? But once I decided in the second grade that I was a Steelers guy, I've never changed since.
That's awesome.
Have you ever heard the song that the Steelers are working on this year?
No, I haven't.
It's called Stairway to Seven.
That's awesome. Well, Gerard, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. And by the way, I thought we'd get some fish here in the fish fry.
Oh,
but
yeah, I'll have to talk to somebody about that.
Okay.
How about a little neural network news you may have missed? Now, here on Fish Fry, we sure do enjoy the work of optics research scientist and neural network engineer extraordinaire, Janelle C. Shane. Janelle has taught her neural networks a whole slew of very valuable lessons, including how to name paint colors. Oh, yes, Stanky Bean, Cat Babble, and Dorkwood were probably my favorites. Do you like the color of that wall? Yeah, Dorkwood. And she also programmed her neural networks to create their own craft beer names. Now, I'm kind of siding with Bigly Bomb Session IPA or Binglezard Flack as my favorites in that category. And if you were to take a quick perusal of the beers at my local craft brewery, those names aren't that far off. Well, Janelle is at it again, and this time she is striking right at the heart of that venerable February holiday, Valentine's Day, and teaching her neural network minions to write clever, or not so clever as the case may be, candy heart taglines. Now, since those sweet treats weren't actually on the market this holiday season, I'm guessing Janelle did some homework ahead of time. So, she actually collected all of the genuine heart messages she could find, and then she fed them to her learning algorithm, or her neural network. Now, apparently, some of the messages that Janelle's neural network came up with weren't quite fit to print or podcast. So, if you're curious about this subset of rather suggestive taglines, you can contact Janelle directly. Check out the link below the player for more information. Now, for the ones I can report on, well, first, I should say that Janelle's neural network did produce some candy heart sayings that might actually improve candy heart messaging, including love bot, cute kiss, my bear, and my favorite, love bun. But then, well, it kind of went off the rails from there, with candy-coated sweet messages like, tweet up, bat, I honker, stank love, and sweat poo. Janelle also recently taught her neural networks to come up with their own pickup lines as well. And as Janelle puts it, these pickup lines were varied from incomprehensible to surreal to kind of adorable. And of course, because you were going to ask, my two favorites that kind of made sense are you a candle because you're so hot of the looks with you? And if I had a rose for every time I thought of you, I have price tightening. So, if you want to read all of the many pickup lines or candy heart taglines that Janelle Shane's neural networks came up with, of course, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. And can someone hand me that Bigly Bomb Session IPA, please? Thanks. Speaking of the cloud, have you heard? EDA is in the cloud. Right? I know. Finally. Now, when you need access to large amounts of computing power to push your design through those critical stages, there is a secure, reliable, powerful cloud-based system that lets you scale your design tools to meet your actual needs. And guess what? We're covering all of this and more in a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Introducing Cadence Cloud Portfolio. In this episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Crystal Bruno and Ahmed El-Zeftawi from Cadence Design Systems and chat all about how you can use the Cadence Cloud to conquer your design project bottlenecks. And you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal. Can't miss it, right across the top. By clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, or you can also just head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. And have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. Our Twitter handle is EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out our Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 22nd, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.